Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Sonia Henny Tutu Department here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, it's come to our attention that there are a lot of people out there that don't know what we mean when we say Sonia Henny's Tutu.
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
What do we mean? What do you call those kinds of expressions? That's a, exclamation.
I like that. An exclamation. I mean, it's like, no kidding.
Right, exactly.
Well, I'll be. Right. Or if you were more sophisticated, you'd say, indeed.
Indeed. Well, it's
did
not
you ever meet anyone you liked who used the word indeed?
Indeed, I have. Well, that's what Sonia Henny's tutu means, except it's Norwegian. We like to add a little international flair to the show.
Everything
once
is being
in a
internationalized
while.
These
right?
days.
I didn't know tutu was a Norwegian word, but I guess.
I asked my son, who's very bright, I thought, how do you say tutu in Spanish? And he said, dos, dos. So I gave him a knuckle sandwich, and that was it.
Hey, I guess you don't have any mail to read, so we'll just go right
well,
on.
Well, I do, actually. First of all, I have my collection of comic strips.
Uh-huh.
In which all of philosophy of life is currently being espoused. Robot Man.
I don't read Robot Man.
Well, I don't usually either, because, I mean, Will B. Dunn is my favorite guy. But Robot Man goes to buy a car. He says, I'd like to buy a domestic car instead of an import. I feel it's the honorable thing to do. He's gone to, like, a Chevy dealer, right?
Some such thing.
Here's the salesman, right? See the suit?
He's wearing
the plaid jacket.
Right, the white
polka
belt.
Polka dot tie, the white belt.
Yeah.
Right? That's a full Chicago.
I know that.
Right?
I know that. Yes.
By the way, our...
Wait a minute. Just keep it to the...
Wait a minute. This is a little aside. Our technical advisor informed me the other day that that is called a full Chicago. But did you know what shirt buttoned down, unbuttoned down to the third button... Three gold chains, full nunzio.
Full.
Okay, so he says, I feel it's an honorable thing to do. Salesman says, honorable. Excuse me for just a minute. He runs into the office, gets the dictionary, looks up honorable. Adjective, worthy of honor, noble, commendable, of reputable association. Goes back out, and the guy says, Robot Man says, I was saying it's a matter of personal integrity. Salesman says, integrity.
I'll be right back. Words unfamiliar.
No, is it true that the automobile salespersons would not even be familiar with the terms honorable?
Well, if I may rant and rave for just a second.
You be my guest.
About automobile.
You don't know how good you're going to feel.
I can feel it already. I feel the pressure welling up. Is that what happens first?
Isn't it great?
How my veins doing?
The veins are bulging. They're starting to throb there. That's good.
I mean, people have remarked to us from time to time that, you know, we unfairly accused automobile salespeople.
We never
of being
do anything unfairly.
Disreputable.
Yeah.
Yet there's compelling evidence for this.
Yeah.
Because you go in and the price is not on the car.
Right.
I mean, it is on the car, but you say, I can't pay that. Well, what can you pay, they ask. What the hell kind of a deal is that? The price should be on the thing.
Right.
And that should be it. When you go into to buy a refrigerator, you don't haggle with the salesman. He doesn't have to go talk to the manager.
Well, you do. You could.
You got a better price?
You don't pay the number that's written right on the refrigerator.
Yeah, I did, actually.
What are you, nuts?
I guess the philosophy is if someone's trying to sell you something...
And they won't tell you the price?
Chisel them. Whatever they want, offer them half. 1-800-332-9287.
How does it feel to rant and rave?
I feel great.
Isn't it great?
I feel great. I'm going to take off a few shirts here.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey.
Hey, what? Who's this?
This is Ron Noble from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hi, Ron.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
You know,
it's incredible.
We respond to your salutation. Hey.
Yeah, hey, what? Yeah.
So what's up?
I own a 1978 Fiat.
Fiat what?
It's a Mirafiori. Have you ever heard of one?
Sure, yeah.
A 131.
131, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a nice car.
This thing has like 160,000 miles on it. I got it when it was nearly brand new. It was a company car that had been given to me when I left the company. a long time ago in 78, 79. I've saved it and saved it and saved it, and it kept running and kept running and kept running. And instead of buying my son a used car that I didn't know or a new car, which he would trash, I let him keep this one. And I don't want to put any more money in it because he's driven it now for 4 years. He's going off to college, and we're just going to try to get it into the summer and then get rid of it. The problem is that it won't start right now. He called me the other day from school. I went to pick him up. I've got lights, good radio, good horn. But I turned the ignition, and nothing, not anything.
Absolutely nothing.
And I'm wondering, I'm going to do the work myself if I can. I don't want to take it to a mechanic because the car's just not worth what I would pay. Is it the ignition? Is something in the ignition switch?
Is this a manual or an automatic?
It's a manual.
Okay.
Did you try the basic jump start system?
We tried to jump start it. Nothing. I put jumper cables on it and nothing.
How long did you leave the jumper cables on?
Just a couple of minutes.
Not good enough.
Maybe. It should have done something, perhaps. But you say you have lights and the horn works and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, and the radio, everything is, everything is, all the electrical stuff sounds very strong.
If you turn on the headlights and you turn the key to the start position, would the headlights dim or not?
No, they did not. They stayed strong.
Ah!
Okay, well, you're not getting current to the starter motor. Either because a wire has come off. The last time it ran,
it
ran okay.
Question, wasn't
it? Yeah, it runs good.
It runs great.
Yeah, the little four banger just keeps going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we back up a step?
Sure.
What company gave out Fiat's as company cars?
Papagino's. Did you work for Papagino? I mean, that is a good question, isn't it?
Isn't it? I was just curious. It has nothing to do with the solution to the problem. Maybe it does.
Maybe it does.
But you don't have to answer that. It must have been the CIA or something.
Well, I tell you what, Fiat is, everybody kidded me all these years saying that, Fiat stands for Fix It Again, Tony.
Yeah.
Or Fix It All the Time.
Fix It All the Time, I think it is.
But, I've done very little expensive maintenance on this car.
Well, I'll tell you, my brother-in-law bought one of these back around the same time. And I said, oh, geez, why did you buy that thing? And he gave it away to somebody, and it had 125,000 miles on it, and he never spent a nickel on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. For it to have such a bad reputation, this little car has really been a good workhorse for us.
Well, one of the reasons for its terrible reputation was that it certainly couldn't take the northern climb. The weather up here used to destroy those things.
Yeah, the salt on the roads.
The salt on the roads. The body was made out of old Coca-Cola cans that they inherited from Japan.
No, Filippo Burio olive oil containers,
the cans,
I think.
Right. What was the question?
Why won't it start?
Why won't it start?
Have a bad starter. So what you've got to do, you've got to get to the starter and find out if you're getting current to the starter.
How do I do that?
Well, you don't know how to do it, and I don't want to explain it because, not because I don't,
You don't think Ron can understand it?
He could, but if you're not well versed in starterology, then you're going to be jumping things that have a lot of current. I mean, that big fat wire that comes from the starter has the potential to pump out a couple of hundred amps.
Oh,
and I don't think you want to mess around with that.
Yeah.
So you've got to get it to somebody who can, and the way you're going to get it there is you're going to push start it.
Exactly right. Because if the battery is okay and the starter is the problem, it will start when you push start it, because all you got to do is put it into the on position rather than the start position, and assuming that the ignition switch is not completely kaput, this thing will start right up when you give it a little shove, and then you just drive it directly to your nearest Fiat dealer. Oh, sorry, Ron, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, I
have always liked Fiats.
He has not.
I would never buy one. But I have always thought that Fiats should have survived.
Yes, it's always one of those cars that someone else should own.
Made a fortune fixing Fiats.
Aren't they the biggest selling? One of the biggest selling cars in Europe?
Sure.
Yeah, they are.
They're every place.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's a heck of a car, and I'll tell you, just to do a little commercial, my son drives it. He's 270 pounds. He's a defensive tackle. And he drives half the defensive line around in this thing all the time. Four guys that all weigh over 250 pounds.
Well, they can push it to get it started.
Hey, good luck, Ron.
See ya.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Guess what? The Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. If you're like most people, there's been a time where you had to stop working on your car because you didn't have the right parts. But eBay Motors thinks the only thing that should slow your car down is the brakes, or maybe friction, but not a lack of parts. That's why eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. In fact, they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. That way, you can keep your project moving and your car not just running, but running in style. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover Card. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back. Use Discover to earn 5% cash back at gas stations and Target. Now through June on up to $1,500 in purchases when you activate. They know every dollar matters right now, but you can count on Discover Card. Get up to $75 cash back this quarter with Discover It Card. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/rewards.
Hey, I'm not even going to ask you this because I know you don't remember because it was way too involved, but this is the time where I
yeah,
give the...
Well,
I did not use the pronoun we because you never participate.
I do. I try. I always try to clarify your screwy wording of the puzzles
to make it clear
so that people can send the answers in on the back of a $20 bill and we can get a few $20 bills.
Oh.
Because if no one thinks he or she knows the answer, you dummy, we don't get any $20 bills.
Okay, I apologize.
You're going to give easier puzzles. You've got to make it sound hard.
But
and
easy.
Then everyone says, ooh. And
I'm
write it on the back
one.
Of a $20 bill.
I got it.
Got it? Okay. Now, do I remember last week's puzzler? No.
All right, here it is. A woman came into the shop the other day and she had been to one of those like quickie muffler tune-up places. Pokey Muffler, I think so.
Pokey Muffler.
I don't know. I think that's what it was. Anyway, she went there for a tune-up, and when she came back, they said, hey, lady, you need new shocks. And to show her that she needed shocks, they did the time-honored test of pushing down on the bumper. When you do that and push it down and release it, it's supposed to come up and stop.
Right.
But instead, it went bunga, 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 and bounced several times. And indeed, she was convinced. She said, gee, I guess so. I guess you need shocks. And anyway, they put the new shocks in.
Yeah.
Okay, they installed the shocks. And she drove off with her new shocks and her new tune-up and all that, but she was very disappointed because the ride was terrible. And it was worse than it had been with her old shocks.
I remember, it's coming back to me now, you said it felt like she could feel every bump in the road.
Every pebble in the road. It felt like she were driving on a cobblestone road. In fact, she was there the next morning to complain. She was sitting right there when they arrived with their 7-Eleven
with their coffee, right.
And she said, you sold me defective shocks. And the guy did the bounce test again, and the shocks...
No, I'm sure that the first thing he did was deny it.
Right.
Without asking any questions. He probably said, impossible, madam.
Well, you know why? Nobody likes being attacked, and she probably attacked him. A verbal assault.
What do you mean no one likes being attacked?
Anyway, he does the bounce test, and he says, these are shocks are perfect, but... You know, you remember what it did yesterday? We kept going boinga, 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 boinga,
boinga.
And today,
it doesn't boinga, boinga
doesn't
now.
Do that. She said, well, I don't care. I want my old ones back. And he said, I already threw them away.
Yeah.
But we'll give you another set, obviously free of charge, because you haven't exceeded the 30-minute warranty.
And she had, actually. Oh, but they were close.
Right, that's exactly.
Does it count?
No. Oh. Okay. And they put the new shocks in, and the ride was exactly the same. Mm. And the question is, what is wrong? Right?
Yeah.
Part A, did the guys at Pokey Muffler do anything wrong? And part two was, why didn't they? Well, they didn't do anything wrong, actually, except they overlooked one thing.
Yeah.
She had way too much air pressure in her tires.
Didn't we use this puzzle once before?
I'm trying to save the planet by recycling. I recycle everything now.
She had lots and lots of air
in
her
tires.
She had
like 50 pounds of air, and she didn't notice this with the other shocks because they were so bad that when she did hit bumps, the back end went up and down, up and down, up and down.
Boinga, boinga,
boinga.
Boinga,
boinga, boinga, a la QE2.
Right.
And then when they finally put shocks in there that worked correctly and damped those vibrations, when she hit a bump, it felt like every little pebble she hit was telegraphing right through to her bones because, in fact, it was. And we let the air out of the tires, and then
that was it.
Yeah, it went blah, 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 blah. Do we have a winner?
That is actually a good puzzle.
Yes, we do have
a winner. The winner is...
Better than this week's, you'll see.
Holden Babcock. Gee, that's an interesting name. Is that a male or female type name, do you know?
I would say that's a male's name.
It does sound male, doesn't it? Holden. Holden Babcock from Rockford, Michigan, and for being
not to be confused with Rockford. You know, there's a Rockford in every state.
There is not.
I'm sorry.
Rockford, Hawaii. Yes,
yes
there is one.
Is a, yeah.
No one knows it. Don Ho lives there, you know.
Anyway, what did Holden win?
For being selected as the winner this week, Holden will get an autographed copy of our mediocre book, Car Talk, which was given 2 thumbs up by the New York Review of Mediocre Books. It was one of the best mediocre books they said they had ever seen.
Yes, we had reached the top of mediocrity, the height of mediocrity. I think
remember, it is only the mediocre who can always be at their best.
Indeed, we know that. Well, anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up. It's not a great one like this week's, but it's good. Mm. It's good.
Well, this one was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's why I saved it for all these years.
That's
yeah.
why you used it 3 times.
Anyway, but stay tuned for that. It'll be
challenging. We need new puzzles, don't
yeah,
we?
Oh, desperately. Yeah. If you want to talk to us, our number is 1-800-332-9287. If you want to talk to Avogadro, his number is 6.02 × 10². Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Raina.
Raina?
Yes.
You know, you are only the second person in the entire world. I know everyone in the world, and you're the second Raina that I know. The first one is a friend of my daughter.
Well, that's interesting.
I mean, what kind of strange name is this? I think it's a great name.
Thanks.
Do you have any siblings like named Shina?
No, Raina.
Where are you from, Raina?
I'm calling from Milton, New Hampshire.
Milton, New Hampshire. Raina and Shina. Okay.
So what can we do for you, Raina?
I think that I have valve damage in my 69 VW Bug.
Oh, very likely.
And I am considering using something I found in a magazine called Engine Overhaul.
I'm going to guess the price.
$9.95.
Pricing is very important.
Yeah. Engine Overhaul.
Really? I was going to guess $14.95. See, if the price is too low, nobody will believe it.
What was the right number?
$8.99.
I was close.
Well, what is this stuff? Engine overhaul. Is this stuff that you add to the oil, right?
It's a two-part procedure. The first part you add right to the oil.
Right.
And it's thick, gooey stuff.
Right.
And then the second part is supposed to be little metal alloy tablets.
Right, little
right.
pellets.
You put those into the spark plug holes.
Right. And I want to try it, but I don't know if anybody else ever has.
Well, it's first of all, it's not going to help your valves. This stuff, if it does help at all, is supposed to help your rings. It's supposed to plate these molecules of metal that are in these pellets. When the explosions take place, the pellets bounce all around inside and get pulverized, and their metallic components
are supposed to attach themselves to the cylinder walls. Because what's wrong with your engine, when an engine gets destroyed, it's because the pistons are going up and down all the time in these little holes, and everything wears out, so now you got everything slopping around in there. Things that are supposed to be really, really tight are now really, really loose.
But if you have burned out valves, I don't think this isn't going to help, no matter what you have.
No, this is one of those wonderful things. You know what's so wonderful about that? In fact, I just put in my pocket one of the other great items having to do with the comic strip. And it says, Dilbert is transferred to marketing. He's walking along and someone says to him, you look lost. And he says, I never knew that marketing was like this. Do you people do any work? Mm. And the guy says, well, not on Barbecue Tuesday. And what some brilliant marketing genius, I mean truly a genius, said, look, when people have reached the end of their rope, when someone is telling them that they must spend $1,000, will they not spend $8.99, no matter what the probability of its being junk? And the answer is absolutely. Because what do you got to lose? $8.99 as opposed to junking the car or spending $1,000 to fix it. Everyone would choose to spend $8.99.
Not Raina.
Where did you get this stuff? I need some for my car.
Can I say the name of a catalog?
Sure.
Oh, Whitney's, we know.
Yeah, J.C. Whitney.
Oh, sure, of course. I got the catalog right here. Where is it?
And he has a copy in his bathroom, too.
It's right
what
here.
What page is it on?
What
we'll
page
look it up
is it
right
on?
I just looked in my most recent one, and it's not in there. It was in the...
Yeah, look in the index under Engine Salvation.
Oh, my God.
Do any damage?
Will it do any damage? No, it won't do any damage because It can't. It's
already
the
damage
been
has already been done.
Damage. But it probably will not help.
Take it to your mechanic and have him do, first of all, a compression test.
All right.
And then have him check everything else. See if it needs a tune-up.
Okay.
And it may well be that there's nothing wrong, but it's very unlikely. I mean, there probably is something wrong. And if it does need valves, then this little bottle of stuff is not about to replace a valve.
No, you'll need two bottles at least.
At least.
Good luck, Raina.
Can you just tell me one last thing?
Yes.
Would I have valve damage if I didn't use leaded gas?
Yes, you will eventually get valve damage. And, of course, it's even more likely on a Volkswagen, which runs very hot and has flimsy little valves anyway. But you can get the cylinder heads rebuilt and have hardened seats installed if you're really determined to keep this car.
Okay.
But don't forget, this thing is 25 years old, practically, so of course you got valve damage, but who knows when it happened. I mean, it happened gradually over the last 25 years.
And it's going to happen again, but don't worry about it.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for taking it.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't move, because more calls and the new Puzzler are coming right up. This message comes from NPR sponsor, the NPR Wine Club. Get the world of wine delivered to your home. When you join the NPR Wine Club, you'll receive stories behind every bottle and favorite NPR shows and personalities arriving in liquid form, like Tiny Desk Chardonnay and Grape Cask Cabernet. The NPR Wine Club is a delicious way to support NPR's programming. If you're 21 or older, uncork a special offer at nprwineclub.org.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to answer your questions about cars and car repair, karma and dogma. And what happens if a karma runs over a dogma? What does happen?
I don't know.
I don't know. But
I will get Paul Merkey on it right away.
That and other questions will be answered.
What happens if a karma runs over a dogma?
I don't know. Hey, talk about what happens. It's time for...
It's one of the deeper questions that you've ever come up with.
It's time for a puzzler.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Do you remember last week's puzzler?
That's my line.
All right. Do you have a decent...
Yes.
One that we will not be embarrassed about. I mean, don't forget, our entire lives do not occur here in this little room studio. This is hot in here, you know? I mean, we actually have to go out of here, of the building, and face people.
Yes.
And when they come up with puzzle, they asking me about the puzzle, like the chain hanging from the trailer trucks, and I have to be embarrassed at puzzlers like that. Now, is this an embarrassing puzzler, or will I be proud to say... Yes, he is my real brother. We did not find him in a clamshell on the beach. I'll be able to say that.
I would stick to the original story.
All right, I'll be the judge.
Well, here it is. There's a little bit of history woven into this puzzle. I'll try to...
In other words, this can't be short and sweet.
No.
Okay, milk it as much as you can.
Some years ago, we had a mechanic that worked for us, back when we were just mere neophytes, back in the... At the turn of the century.
Back in the late 80s.
I don't know what this guy's name was. Crusty. Crusty, I think his name was.
Crusty.
Crusty.
Was it Mike?
It was Mike, yeah.
Okay, I just want to get the right perspective.
And one day a car came in that had obviously been flooded. It was a cold winter day, and the person on the car had tried to start it. The choke was stuck, and the thing was flooded. It was pretty obvious. And the car got towed in, and we tried to start it in the shop, and we turned the key, and wow, 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 wow. It cranked like crazy, but it wouldn't fire up.
You know why? It was flooded.
It was flooded. We knew that. In fact, we had a good indication it was flooded because the customer told us it was flooded. So I'm pretty sure it's flooded.
You should always pay attention to the customer's diagnosis. They know more about the car than you do.
Probably. They probably do. Anyway, I said to Krusty, I said, why don't you take the plugs out? And he said, well, I want to try something first.
Wow. Uh-huh. He was a great one for experimentation.
He was. It was always poaching.
It was always, I've always wanted to rebuild a transmission.
And he took all of the spark plug wires off the plugs. He removed, there was an 8-cylinder Buick or some such thing. He removed them all.
Yeah.
And instead of taking the plugs out, he put all the plug wires back on, but left a distance between the end of the spark plug and the
This is one of those old wives' tales, isn't
right.
it?
So there was a distance of perhaps an inch between mm-hmm. the end of the spark plug wire, the metal part of the wire, and the tip of the spark plug.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, the spark had to jump. It was as if the spark plug wires were about to fall off.
Right.
Okay, he installed them in such a manner that they were about to fall off so that the spark no longer could make a smooth transition
right.
through a conductor from the wire to the plug.
But it had to jump.
It had to jump an inch.
Leap across. So instead of having what everyone would say is a good connection, it had what everyone would call, electricians would call, a lousy connection.
Right, so what he did basically is increased the resistance between
sure,
in the circuit.
It's now air instead of a conductor.
Right.
Copper.
Right. The wire, the end of the wire is made out of steel and the copper, there's copper connector at the end
sure.
of the spark plug.
So he did that to all eight plugs.
He did that. And he gets in the car and turns the key and doesn't start. No, it starts right up. It starts
yeah.
right up. And the question is,
what the heck?
Do you believe this? Sonia Henny's tutu, I
well,
said.
I tell
even you. Before I knew who Sonia Henny was.
Yeah.
So Krusty makes a purposely bad connection, and
bingo!
Bingo, the car starts. Are these old wives' tales, are these foolish medieval alchemistic remedies, or are they in fact...
alchemistic? Very good.
And
or is there some basic fact theory
right.
behind
is there some basic physics involved here? And if you think you know the answer...
Or if you're Carl Sagan and know the answer to everything...
write to us at Puzzler Tower on the back of a $20 bill, mm. Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02215.
We get dozens of pieces of mail every week
yes.
from people saying, you say the address too fast and I couldn't
Puzzler Tower.
Get it. But how did they write the letter to us is my question.
Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue.
Maybe people don't understand
Boston,
Commonwealth. C-O-M-M-O-N.
Our fair city.
Wealth. Common.
Mass.
Wealth.
Zero.
Boston. Our fair city. Ma. 02215.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tony from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hi. Hi. Tony, what's up?
Well, I have a little old lady of a car that I need some advice on. It's a 1976 Volvo 240 wagon. With 180,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
See, this is old car day today. Everyone's calling us with old heaps. Not that yours is a heap, but, well...
Oh, it probably
not?
Is.
That remains to be seen.
Well, I need to have the car inspected, but it has a couple problems.
I'll bet.
Like, the tailpipe needs to be welded back on, and but the gas tank has a leak in it, so they won't touch it. And the front end needs to be aligned. The front tires are worn kind of all the way down to the steel on the outside.
Oh, good.
But when I took it in, they said it needs a new rack and pinion. But there's no power steering in the car.
Well, you still have a rack and pinion.
Well, but I figured we didn't need that because we're not using the power steering because the air conditioner compressor went out and it rattled so badly that we took the belt off. So now there's no power steering either. And the clutch is going out. It's real hard to shift. Kind of have to crash it into reverse.
Yeah, yeah.
So my question is, what should I fix?
Well, what alerted you to the fact that there was something wrong with the car? Was there one thing that kind of, you know, tipped you off?
I mean, what's your point, Tony?
Yeah, I wanted to know how I could keep that little button in the glove box from falling out.
Good God. You mean, where should you start?
Well,
huh?
When I said earlier that this wasn't a heap, I guess I was wrong.
You were wrong.
This qualifies as a heap.
Oh, but it has a great engine in it.
Yeah, that's about it though, huh?
Yeah, if I could maybe put it in a new body.
No.
Yeah. You've got some expensive problems here, Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, this may be the time to kiss this little sweetheart goodbye.
Well, let's attack them one by one. The gas tank leak you have to fix.
Well, you're not necessarily.
Well,
at the junkyard, they don't care.
1 day to the gallon on it.
1 day to the gallon.
Uh-huh.
Who cares about the leaking gas tank when you're going to have to spend $400 to replace the rack?
No, he said 1,000.
No.
Well, 1,000 if you're going to go buy a new one, but you go down to the junkyard and you can just buy the whole
business. No, it isn't 1,000. It's,
okay.
It's 500 or so, but
yeah.
It certainly isn't 1,000, and
right.
That's for a rebuilt one.
Right. It's closer to 5 than it is to 1,000.
Okay, so you got 500 to spend on the rack. The tailpipe is small potatoes. That's probably not more than 1,000 or so. The gas tank, you're going to need a new one.
No, the clutch is the next most expensive item.
If you're going to fix anything, you have to fix the gas tank. Your car's going to catch fire.
Wait a minute. Are you willing to spend $500 to fix the rack and $400 to replace the clutch?
Why should I fix the rack when I'm not using the power steering?
Because the rack has nothing to do with the power steering.
The rack may be worn out and dangerous.
The rack is what makes the wheels turn from left to right, whether you have power steering or not.
Oh, that would be important, huh?
That would be... You're quick, Tony. You are quick.
Have you not
noticed anything funny about the steering?
Yeah. It kind of sidles down the road, and the steering wheel rattles, and you can't see out the rearview mirror because it's moving so much.
All right. Well, wait a minute. That may be all attributable to the tires and the alignment. Is this guy really savvy on Volvos? I mean, is this a Volvo mechanic?
No, I guess he
doesn't know what he's doing. You gotta go someplace else. You may not need the rack. You may need inner or outer or both tie rod ends.
Okay.
And they're easily replaced and they're cheap.
Yeah, they're not $500.
Can I get those at a junkyard?
No.
No. You have to buy new.
You oughtn't to go too close to the junkyard with this car anyway.
They get those big magnets that suck you right in, you know. No, seriously, you have to go someplace. You have to find a mechanic. I'm surprised you haven't already. Who loves Volvos and wants to keep them alive, feels as though it is his duty in life to keep cars of that vintage alive.
But let's say you did need the rack, and let's say that was $500 and $400 for the clutch and $350 for the gas tank and $150 for tires and $50 for a tailpipe. Get out the abacus. What does this add up to?
$1,450.
It's not worth that much.
Well, so what?
I just want to get it inspected.
The question is this, not is the car worth this much, but would you be willing to spend something like $1,500 to have this car work?
I'll have to go get another job.
If you're not prepared to spend like $6,000 to buy another one.
You don't have the $6,000 to buy another
$6,000.
Oh, no.
Right, so $1,500 is your only choice. It's either that.
Or
you buy a good pair of Nike cross trainers and you walk every place.
Yeah. And you really, all of these items, by the way, are dangerous.
Everything that needs to be done needs to be done right away.
It really needs to be done. So, I mean, you got to either bite the bullet and spend $1,500, or you got to start walking because you really can't drive this.
Okay.
Yeah. So start walking. Start training for the walking. You're going to be doing a lot of it.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, another hour of Car Talk has mercifully come to an end. Our producer is some guy named Doug Berman who shows up about once a month. But he does a good job when he's here.
He does.
Our assistant producer is Don Jennings.
Wheelhouse Jennings.
Our technical advisor is plain old John Lawler.
Not John Bugsy.
No, not to be confused with Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height Sweet Cheeks Lawler.
Right. That's another guy. This is just John Lawler.
Right. Our engineer is Jennifer Princess Loeb. Our dean of the Department of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Oh, I see a look of disdain.
Princess looks very nasty. Whoa.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. He has that same look that Mr. Height gets.
Maybe they're related to each other.
Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our staff grammarian.
An acting philologist.
Yes.
She got a slight promotion. We're trying her out.
Is I am Shirley Wright. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah, and now we call her Mrs. Sarah.
No. Kay Sarah, Sarah.
I didn't get it right,
huh?
Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw.
A letter from him the other day.
The staff composer is Bella Kartok. The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sludgy Ozawa. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. Les Ismore. You like the...
Les Ismore.
No.
He pronounces it.
Is it? Does he?
He pronounces it Ismore.
Okay. Our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to his friends as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
Just Gigi does our hair.
Yeah, you've read that very well. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.